Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet Broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, everyone, and Eric McElroy. We are sponsored by AESRacing.com and Action Extreme Sports. Big thanks to Facebook Live as well for today's episode of our Big Z Sports Podcast. Guys, week five of the high school football season in the books. Kind of a crazy, wacky, long Friday night, guys.
Can we not relive it?
Not going to relive the whole 7.5 hours we were on the air.
It was long?
Yeah, it was long. It was very long.
But, guys,
Chris hit the scoreboard for us. We'll recap a little bit and talk about week six.
Anybody who says we can't do an 8-hour show, we proved them wrong.
I don't know how much, I don't know how good it was, but we did it.
But we proved them wrong. There was a lot of BSing in there. But, all right, our game of the week, New Philadelphia knocked off CCC, which is Canton Central Catholic, 38-21 to avoid one of their worst starts in about 15 years. Baron May, 14-28, 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. But, guys, he did it with his feet. New Philadelphia had 33 carries, 290 yards on the ground. Baron May had 245 of them, 3 touchdowns, including a 92-yarder. Eric, he was our Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week.
No doubt about it. He really had a transcendent game as he lifted his Quakers to victory. Like you said, in danger, Chris, of dropping to 1-3, right, if they would have lost that game, right, if I'm mistaken? Or would have been 1-4. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was back and forth that whole game, really, until Baron May had that big 92-yard touchdown run, which you can see the highlight of that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. And Sam Zemus, 2 touchdown catches from Baron May also. Baron May finally in control, it seemed like, of the offense. I guess the one interception he had was on a tipped ball. So, you know, seems like he finally is starting to get back in the offense. And here's my thing with New Philadelphia. I said it on Friday night show. I think that the whole deal with New Philly, I had this epiphany. It was like the light came on.
A what?
The epiphany.
How you spell that?
I can't.
Okay.
It was like the light came on finally. What is New Philadelphia struggling with? You know what they're struggling with? They're missing Kai Crothers. Without that run game, Baron May is struggling. They spread it out, said, you know what? We're going to a no-back set. Boom. It is what it is.
Yeah, and listen, they got back to the run game, like you said, but they're still giving up some big plays defensively, gave up 490 total yards.
Yep, TCC defeated Newcomerstown 21-14. Newcomerstown led 14-7 after the first quarter. The game was tied at 14 at the half. Pretty good football game for both of these teams. Ryan Dick, 14 carries, 43 yards and a touchdown. Also had a receiving touchdown. How about Jake Miller's stats, guys, from TCC? 7 catches, 116 yards and a touchdown. I believe Coach Cummings alluded to him in our postgame.
Yeah, and listen, they used their team speed, even though it was a sloppy surface and that game was delayed because no power and because of the weather at Newcomerstown. Still, TCC used just that speed they had and a few more skill players. They made just one more play than Newcomerstown did.
Yep, Alex Price, 16-25, 256 yards and a pair of touchdowns for the quarterback. Newcomerstown, guys, had 248 yards on the ground on 46 carries. Gavin Little, 111 yards and a touchdown. Chase Bryant, 93 yards and a touchdown. But they couldn't stop that TCC pass.
Yeah, they're getting closer as Newcomerstown. And week after week, they put up some yards on the ground. So they're churning up the yards on the ground. It's just a matter of stiffen up a little defensively and not giving up that extra big play.
Yeah, they are. They're learning. You know, they're growing. They're getting better each and every week. And every coach will tell you that each week. All we want to do is get better each week. Well, Newcomerstown is showing improvement every single week. Not in the win column yet, but you know what? They will get there. They just got to keep working at it and keep, you know, grinding it out.
Yeah, absolutely. West Holmes destroys Madison Comprehensive 68-13. They scored 27 in the first quarter. Then turned around and called 20 and scored 27 in the second quarter. First downs, guys, Madison Comprehensive had 10. You guys want to guess how many West Holmes had?
I'm going to say 22.
I'm going to say 30.
Yeah, because you already seen the stats. Yeah. 30.
KOG, you already saw the stats.
10 carries, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. KOG was my hats off award winner because his name is Kale.
Well, you know, I didn't see the stats. I remembered them because I saw them on Friday night from like 4 days ago. So
he did see them at one point.
Photographic memory.
Did you see the fist pump behind us there?
No, I missed it.
Bridger Klein, 8 of 13, 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. They rushed for 6 touchdowns as a team, guys. West Holmes did. They only had 3 in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, Sugar Shane Jones had a touchdown catch, also a 54-yard punt return for a touchdown, too. And Coach Gardner was happy after the game. Really, because he got some young guys in there to play, and those young guys not only went in there and just went through the motions, but they went out there and played well, too.
They needed to play well, because this week is a big test for them, and we'll get into that on Friday night. But big game for them this week, but nice tune-up last Friday night. We all kind of figured that was what was going to happen with Madison Comprehensive, but the Knights are playing very good football right now, and Coach has them believing and playing at their full potential.
Well, and you talked about big games. Wait till you see our schedule this week, because there's a lot of big games coming up this week. The schedule starts to get tough now. Ridgewood, they shut out Strasburg 49-0. Strasburg, guys, has been outscored 98-6. In just the first quarter of the last 4 games.
Yeah, not good. If you're starting the game like that, it's hard to bounce back and play from behind and catch up really the whole game. Chris, my hats off award winner came from this game. Caden Smith, not one, not two, but 3 rushing touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, Caden Smith, a great, great game. He only had 34 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I know, right?
But 3 scores. Isaiah Lamnick had 48 yards on the ground, also had 68 receiving yards. The freshman Gabe Tingle, 9 of 13, 125 yards and a touchdown, also had 57 yards and a touchdown on the ground. For the Tigers, again, like I talked about their first quarter woes, how about this, guys? This stat's just crazy to me. They've been outgained 1,828 yards to 556 in the last 4 games.
And that goes back, I think it was Rootstown, East Knox, Tuskegee Valley, and then, of course, last week against Ridgewood. Listen, it's not going to get any easier.
No,
they
it's
still
not.
Have tough teams on their schedule to play.
Yep.
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's the mentality that the Tigers have to have at this point.
Yep. Cape Shootball, 3-9, 18 yards. He did have 25 yards on the ground. Zach Cheney, 57 yards. And Jared Willoughby had 21 on the ground and 18 receiving for the Tigers. Sandy Valley, they beat up on Claymont 42-8. Sandy Valley led 35-0 after the first quarter and 42-0 at the half. They outgained Claymont 252-109. Cam Blair, another great game by him. Didn't have to play that much. He was your hats off award winner, Joe.
He was. He had 4 touchdown passes, 2 rushing touchdowns as well, 204 yards, but didn't play much in the second half. With the weather the way that it was on Friday, passing attacks weren't really up to their full par, you know, so to speak, on Friday night. A lot of teams running the ball and getting it done on the ground, but Cam Blair had a great game and a great week for the Cardinals.
What blows my mind is those 35 first quarter points. Yeah. I mean, even with the delay, they were ready to come out and play for the Cardinals.
They were ready. And then Claymont, James Brooks with a 9-yard touchdown run. And guys, Claymont, once again, 85 penalty yards. Kills them.
Kind of like sounds like the Steelers from last night.
No, ouch. That's the story every week, though, with the Mustangs, yeah. Chris.
Brody Kelly had 2 or 3 touchdowns.
I believe it was 2.
I think it was 2 also. But the Kelly brothers, it was good to see Bryce back in uniform as well. Marlington, they squeaked out a 7-6 win over Carrollton. Man, what a heartbreaker this one was. Tegan Moan had 20 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. Brady Benner, another interception for the kicker. That's 3 this year, and I think they've only got 3 on the year as a team.
Okay, let's say something here. Brady Benner is the kicker, but he's also the safety for their defense.
It doesn't matter. He's
that'd
the
be
kicker.
Like, that'd be like us saying if the quarterback also is the kicker. Yeah. Oh, the kicker. Oh,
the kicker. The kicker with the touchdown. He's also a safety for the defense.
Doesn't matter. He's the kicker.
Jarrett Lane defensively for Carrollton had a big force fumble and fumble recovery as well. You mentioned Tegan Moan, though, Chris. He's the one who scored that late touchdown, but what happened after that is what costs Carrollton on Friday, that missed extra point.
Yeah, well, we just gave Brady Benner a pat on the back, and I believe he was the one that missed that extra point. Yeah. So tough deal. You know, he wins the game last week.
Brady Benner giveth and then taketh away.
Yes, exactly.
I think it was more of a bad snap. And wasn't him missing it, so to speak, but it was a bad snap.
But listen, the weather, too, and who knows how his footing was and everything else.
It was slippery. It was on turf, but it was still slippery. I mean, look, Chris Boswell, professional kicker, missed two last night, and it was terrible. So it happens. You know what I mean?
He'll join Zane Gonzalez in the unemployment line.
No, they just gave him a huge contract, but we'll get into that later. Brandon Daniels, two fumble recoveries for the Warriors. They outgained Marlington 217 to 105 on the ground, but Marlington outgained them through the air 185 to 16.
Yeah.
So still struggling to find quarterback play with Tegan Mone's arm.
Yeah, and struggling to find points, too. This may be the story with Carrollton all year. Defense good enough to win games. Sure. Offense just not making
now they're
going to
get into the heart of their conference schedule. We're going to see what Carrollton is, and I think we've seen it the last couple of weeks. They've had stiff competition. They beat Salem, who Salem's a good football team. They're ranked in the state playoff rankings. Marlington's a good team. The West Branch team that they're playing this week is a good team. So you know what, good teams only make you better, especially when you have a defense as good as Carrollton. Now the offense just needs to kind of get going and not make mistakes to put them behind the eight.
You know what I'm going to call their defense? Their defense is the stiff upper lip defense. It's one of these.
Stiff upper lip.
Remember that note I just held up a few minutes ago?
Yes.
All right.
Indian Valley, they take care of Buckeye Trail 50-6. They
That's funny.
They outgained Buckeye Trail 468-101.
Indian Valley, there's not much more we can say about them.
No, we've been saying
Caden
the same
left,
thing for
Caden
like,
right, Caleb yeah. left, eight, Caleb right, Cade eight, up the middle.
18 first downs, Buckeye Trail.
2-4.
Oh. Close enough. Cade Williams, 8-10, 110 yards through the air and a touchdown. 7 carries, 57 yards and a touchdown. Guys, you can say, we can talk a lot about those players, but I think, you know, that are kind of making a name for themselves and separating themselves from the pack for our player of the year. I think Cade Williams is one of those guys, too. I think there's two players off this Indian Valley team right now that have kind of started to separate themselves. You got to throw Cade Williams into that mix, guys. He doesn't have the gaudy numbers, the 410 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. But he's throwing 8-10, 110 yards, and then he does it on the ground.
Sure.
Kid gets it done all around. Caden Hostetler, 14 carries, 148 yards, excuse me, and 2 touchdowns. How about his brother, Caleb? I believe it's his younger brother by, 2 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
Caleb, 2 carries, 17 yards. He had 4 catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Indian Valley had 45 carries, 358 yards. They average 334 a game on the ground. They have 27 touchdowns through 5 games on the ground, and their defense only gives up 113 on the ground and 88 through the air. That is an all-round good football team, guys.
And just a side note, if you think they don't need a new playing surface over there and things redone to the athletic facility at Indian Valley, once again, go look at highlights from our Facebook page, and I'm sure the team moms are pretty upset about all the mud stains and grass stains they have to get out of.
Well, yeah,
all those jerseys and pants.
The cheerleader moms, specifically Mandy Cross, she's a little upset because her daughter Jade decided to go ahead and dive through the sidelines in the mud.
Go.
So the cheerleaders got into the action, too.
But no, it was a mud pit, almost a swimming pool there at Indian Valley's Kelly Field on Fridays.
So. And if you don't know what social media we're talking about, WTUZ, Big Z Sports on Facebook and on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports.
Ding.
Tuskegee Valley loses a heartbreaker to East Canton, 18-17, guys. 61-yard touchdown with 8:25 to play, won it for East Canton, and the 82-yard TD pass in the third quarter was a backbreaker. Those were the two plays. Guys.
Really, what won it for East Canton, there was a blocked 41-yard field goal at the end of the game, which Tuskegee Valley could have won it if it goes through. It's 20-18, the final score. Tristan Tesh, Noah Love, touchdown run. Sam Ray had a big field goal. Tuskegee Valley, their defense forced to safety. Played well enough to win. East Canton, though, they had a 70-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown early in that game when Tuskegee Valley was kind of driving. That was a big backbreaker.
The thing for Tuskegee Valley, there's three keys, or one key out of this game. Stop the big play. They had a long fumble return for a touchdown, a long touchdown pass, a long run, and a blocked field goal. Those are big plays that cost you the game.
Well, here's stats, guys, that will back that up. They had 22 first downs. East Canton had 5. They outgained East Canton 327 to 151 and lost this game. But the stat of the day, guys, they were 1 for 6 through the air, 17 yards. What? Their first passing yards of the season.
Come on.
How about ya?
Hats off to Tuskegee Valley, but no, seriously. Played well enough to win, outplayed East Canton in that game.
Yes, they did.
In basically every statistical category except for the scoreboard.
And that's 3 weeks in a row for them, because it started with Sandy Valley, and they started really well all the way through the third quarter, and then Sandy Valley just pulled away from them. They played well against Strasburg, the game we had on our airwaves back in week number 4. And then last week, probably should have won the game against East Canton. This week, we'll talk about week 6 coming up. But Tuskegee Valley playing good football right now, but we'll see how their momentum, see if that took a little bit of wind out of their sails with that tough loss, or do they keep that momentum going?
Yeah, 69 carries, 310 yards. Ethan Love had 114 of those. Dover pounds Talmadge 42-8. Left no doubt about that close game last year. Alex Sayre, another great game. 9-12, 128 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air. 8 carries, 26 yards. 3 touchdowns on the ground. Kyler Folkert, 83 yards on the ground as well. O'Shea Williams, 4 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown. Nathan Ravine and Jules Freeman both had receiving touchdowns. How about the Tornadoes, guys? 24 carries, 146 yards on the ground. And Dan If gets 200.
Yeah, number 200. And listen, Dover really dominated that game up front at the line of scrimmage, offensively, defensively. Very impressive win for Dover. They kind of flexed their muscles throughout that game.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out what Dover's made of this week. If they can go down and give Steubenville a run or get a win down there, then I think you throw
Hold
Dover into
horses.
One of those. Yeah,
literally.
Well, then you throw Dover one of those in one of those teams of top of the power kind of things. But you know, we'll see what happens at Steubenville this week. That's a tough game to go down there. It's a different world. Garraway, finally, they beat Malvern 28-0 in an abbreviated game, guys. Probably the weirdest game of the night. Coach Wallach was not happy. The referees would not let them on the field when all the other teams in the area, including east of them, were playing. The weather had moved from west. And then they saw some type of lightning whenever there was no clouds in the sky. And it was a very frustrating night. They ended up coming together, and Malvern said, hey, you know what? We're good. We're getting home late the way it is. It's already after midnight. We're good.
Well, you mentioned Coach Wallach was upset, and I think Malvern's coaching staff was upset, too.
Yes.
I mean, you put so much work throughout the week, game planning, getting ready for a game, and then just like that. Now, was Malvern really going to come back? They're already down 4 touchdowns. Probably not, but it's not really the point. Both teams really put in all that work throughout the week and don't get to put it on display on Friday.
Right. And, again, the game was called in the third quarter for Lightning, 28-0. Dawson Lay, 8-14, 146 yards and a touchdown, had 95 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Braden Yoder, 7 carries, 54 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Matt Mullen, 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. So that wraps up week number 5.
One more. Connaughton Valley, they lost to Bridgeport 40-14.
Gotcha.
Yep. Let's look ahead to week 6 this week. The schedule gets tougher. The conference play starts to count now. And week 6 is where the high school football season really takes form and starts getting really good. But one of the games this week, Garraway at Claymont, Sandy Valley at TCC, Ridgewood. They host Indian Valley. So the next couple of weeks for Indian Valley and Ridgewood both will really determine, you know, the next 2 weeks for both of those teams. Ridgewood plays Indian Valley this week. They have Garraway next week. So it will be interesting to see where the Ridgewood Generals end up after these next 2 weeks. Same way for the Indian Valley Braves. They have Ridgewood this week. They have, I'm not sure who they have next week, but the following week they have Garraway. So the next 3 weeks for Indian Valley, that's a test. That's where their real test of their season comes in for Indian Valley. Nuke Philadelphia, they're at Cambridge. Dover, as Chris mentioned, are at Steubenville. Carrollton and West Branch. Strasburg at Buckeye Trail. Newcomerstown at Tuskegee Valley. And West Holmes, taking on Worcester to try to avenge that big loss from last
season. That could be a track meet, really, Friday.
And of course, a couple of those conferences, the OCC already into play. West Holmes is 2-0 in the conference, and Carrollton in the EBC is 1-1.
Yeah, and hopefully there's about 9 games on a schedule because all of our area teams are playing each other right now. So we have about 9 games on our schedule. Hopefully Big Z Sports will have 7 of those 9 games covered for you, either with a stringer or we'll all stringers this week. But next week, obviously, we'll have play-by-play back on our airwaves. But this week, hopefully having 7 of the 9 games covered
That's
for
awesome.
You, which would be really good coverage for all the area teams, trying to get some things worked out for that. But week 6 shaping up to be a good one.
One thing you do have worked out for tomorrow, Joe.
I do. Yeah. We have confirmation now from head football coach of the New Philadelphia Quakers, Matt Dennison. Him and his captains will join us here in the studio for our Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. So the New Philadelphia Quakers will be showcased tomorrow night after their big win. It was well deserved. You know, we've been trying to get them on, and we figured, you know what? What's better now than after a win? So a big win at that. So again, New Philadelphia will be on our Extra Point tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on 99.9 WTUZ. If you can't listen, jump online WTUZ.com and you can stream it as well.
You finally got to take in some football, Joe, without any rain.
I did.
And that was Saturday at the Horseshoe.
It was a little chilly, believe it or not. Yeah. Though we get there, and it was about 12:30. We get there, still kind of overcast, pretty heavy clouds, but the wind was kicking around pretty good. And down on that field, man, it was a little chilly when we first got there, but it was a good time. You know, the Buckeyes, you know, we all knew it was going to be a beatdown with Tulane. But you know what? I mean, it's nice to see Dwayne Haskins doing what he does. You do realize the dude has 16 touchdown passes and one interception
in 4 games. Yeah.
And people can say what they want about him, right? Oh, okay, he hasn't played anybody but TCU, and TCU was soft anyway. Bottom line is, Dwayne Haskins still is throwing the football beautifully. He has a very strong arm. Ooh. He's got a Cardale Jones arm with accuracy is how I like to describe it. He's got a cannon, but he can drop it in on a dime, throw it on a rope. And the bottom line is I think that he is going to lead this team to big things. We're going to find out what Ohio State's made of this week.
He went for 304 and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. And he only had 3 incompletions. Yeah. So I think he was, 14 of 17?
No, 21-24.
21-24.
Isn't it great to see a quarterback stand in the pocket and throw the football?
Yep. And then
it's great.
Of course, all of our Buckeye coverage brought to you by Werther Cutlery in Dover. I put some touchdowns on there. Tate Martell with the read option, your favorite play. Scored at the end of the game. He pulled it out and ran around the end. And Urban even talked about Tate in the press conference. He said, you know, Tate's more of your JT style quarterback. That's what we've always had with him. But Dwayne gives us a new dimension. And what that dimension is he's getting the ball to the receivers down the field. And, you know, that's the thing. The underneath crisscross routes, he's hitting them on stride. I mean, no offense to JT, and you guys know, and everybody listens knows that I thought was a great quarterback. He had his flaws, just like everybody does. But you know what? Those crossing patterns, when JT was quarterback, he would throw behind the receiver, and they wouldn't be able to hit him in stride. Dwayne Haskins is hitting these guys in stride, and you're seeing the speed from these receivers of Johnny Dixon, Paris Campbell. Oh, my goodness.
How about my boy Ben Vick getting a touchdown,
about
too?
About time. He has to do something, because he hasn't done much this year.
Don't talk about my boy Ben Vick.
Austin Mack rebounded and caught some balls, and of course, you know, KJ Hill doing good things. The running game didn't use it as much this week, but Mike Weber was banged up, but came out of the game. He will play this week. That was announced yesterday by Urban Meyer in his press conference, but just a little a strain on his ankle or whatever, but they said they took him out as a precaution. They didn't need him.
So they'll need to be everyone full go this week.
Yeah.
At Penn State to take on the Nittany Lions. One thing I'm interested to see the Buckeyes defense in another tough environment. Remember, they've given up some big plays here and there. I mean, that TCU game, longest play ever in Buckeye history, right? That 90-something yard touchdown run. So we'll see. Real quick, Penn State, they demolished Illinois. 63 points on the board,
like
on Friday night. Of course, that's who the Buckeyes will be playing next week. Michigan over Nebraska. Nebraska's 0-3 for the first time since 1945. Not good things there in Lincoln. The Akron Zips with the letdown game against Iowa State.
They should have won that game.
Beat Northwestern, 26-13 was the final. The Bearcats over the Bobcats, 34-30. Pitt, man, that was a high-scoring game against UNC on the road, but Pitt falls to the Tar Heels. Yeah, they play football there at North Carolina.
I didn't know they played football.
38-35. Although, I mean, Mitch Trubisky went there, right? So they've had Julius Peppers. They've had some decent guys.
Do you know the name Tony Dorsett, Dan Marino?
Sure.
Okay, then.
But how long? That was
moving
like
on
in the 60s, right?
Shady McCoy.
Didn't Lawrence Taylor play at UNC,
yes.
too?
Yeah. Yes. Deion Lewis? Okay, moving on.
Deion Lewis.
Who?
Like he's actually
James done. Connor?
Oh, stop.
Shady McCoy?
Oh, my God. Okay, get out of here. That's enough. Also, Alabama, they rolled over Texas A&M. West Virginia beat Kansas State. One of the biggest upsets of the weekend, Old Dominion over number 13, Virginia Tech, 49-35. They stormed the field there.
Yes, they did. And they deserved to storm the field. That was a big win for them. The Old Dominion...
Oh, yeah?
I can't think of their... I know their mascot is on the tip of my tongue, and I cannot think of it right now.
Let me go look here.
But anyway.
Larry Legend.
Oh, that's right. He did go there. Oh,
yeah, he did. Okay.
All right, so, gotcha. There's some good foot.
I proved
but it's all, that But it's all been in the past, Chris Cale, just like you always do, bring up the past.
The past? So, you've got players playing now.
The Monarchs, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Monarchs?
Texas got a big win over number 17, TCU. If the Horned Frogs continue to lose and lose... I mean, that doesn't bode well for the Buckeyes if they're not that great. But anyway, 31-16 was the final. Indiana, Michigan State, Spartans won 35-21. That is a couple of teams that the Buckeyes will play later on in the year. One of those games we'll take in there, Chris Cale. In overtime, the late game, Oregon, they lost to Stanford 38-31. Listen, that Oregon quarterback's really good, and a lot of people don't know about him because he plays out there on the West Coast. Their games are on like 10:30 our time. But anyway, and then Wisconsin beat Iowa, too.
Is Justin 28-17. Hebert, something like that. Isn't that their quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Bobby Hebert's boy?
It is.
Yeah, that's all I was asking.
Yeah, so Oregon, I actually stayed up and watched a little bit of that game Saturday when I got home. I was so stinking tired Saturday. I got up, I was like, I'm going to catch up on some football, and I flip on ESPN. I'm like, crap, there's a game on. I can't even watch college football live. And that game was on, and I'm like, oh. So I watched a little bit, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed.
He probably didn't even know who Bobby Hebert was. You know who Bobby Hebert was?
Uh-uh. Thanks, Jared. Jared's got duct tape, as you can see on
Facebook. So next week, our sign will be up because Jared has the duct tape. So
thank you.
Yeah, we will get to that. I'm going to keep a roll in my bag.
He knows we're potting, right?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Real quick, top five include three SEC teams. You have Bama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State at four, LSU at five. Story is Kentucky.
A little high for LSU, though, in my opinion.
They've had two big wins, too. Washington and...
Yeah, but Washington is not very good.
Oh, wait, did they beat Washington? That was opening
Joe
game.
Burrow?
That was Auburn, my bad.
Pretty good quarterback.
He is very good.
But LSU's still beating two ranked teams this year.
I know.
If I'm not mistaken. The story, though, Kentucky ranked in the top 25 for the first time in ages. I think since Tim Couch played there.
Not that long. Don't worry, they'll fade. They always do. Couch. Basketball season starts and people forget about Kentucky football.
Wow.
Hey, the Bengals and Andy Dalton threw four picks on Sunday, lost to the Panthers.
Two of them were in his fault. They were tipped.
31-21.
The Red Rider BB gun.
They still go down as picks. Also, last night, Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh, it got, listen, a much needed win. Victory.
Almost blew it at the end. But
yeah, Tampa Bay, 30-27. Big Ben, 350 plus through the air, three touchdowns. Fitz magic, a little bit of magic, little.
He had a little magic, in the third and fourth quarter.
And then he had those three picks too.
When Boswell misses two field goals that would have kind of secured things, gave them momentum, gave them good field position. You know, Pittsburgh's defense, their secondary specifically, not very good, guys. Tomlin said last night they're going to continue to platoon guys until they find the right combination, until somebody starts to separate themselves. Joe Hayden looks slow at times. Artie Burns looks slow at times. Cody Sensabaugh is like 90. Here's my thing. Earl Thomas is on the block. He wants out of Seattle. And guess who wants Le'Veon Bell? Here's my thing. Mike Tomlin, you need to get on the phone to Seattle and you need to get rid of your problem and fix another one and bring Earl Thomas in.
Well, the problem is all these penalties, man. I mean,
penalties were terrible.
Penalties?
13 penalties.
Dude, they've had 38 penalties in the three games this season.
That's a lot for a Mike Tomlin coach football team, really and truly. The whole Earl Thomas thing, I don't know how much he would help you. I mean, yeah, he's an all-pro. safety, but he's more of a run-stopping.
Gotta do something.
He's more of a run-stopping, yeah. Put him
we
in the box.
Something.
Hard-hitting safety. He's not a cover guy, man.
No, last night, if you look at the standings, look who's in the bottom of the center of the North.
Cleveland and Pittsburgh, yeah.
But the Pittsburgh still listed last, is why I was showing you that. So, but big needed win for the Steelers. But they did. I thought their defense was exposed a little bit last night.
Their front and their linebackers played well.
Except
they
one.
Cut the run down, and they sacked Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they put pressure on him all night.
They did.
The secondary's terrible.
But when these linebackers drop into coverage, they're not very good, especially T.J. Watt.
Yeah,
T.J. Watt struggles in coverage.
I call him more of an end than a linebacker.
But anyway, but Pittsburgh needs to clean up their penalties, and they need to get this locker room under control because I think it's causing more problems than what people want to believe.
I don't. And I agree with what Ben said last night. He said, you guys, meaning the media, are blowing this up into be more than what it is. He said, look at it this way. The media has a story for everything. They're going to try and spin everything. He said, yes, it might be a big story outside the locker room, but it's really not that big of a story inside the locker room. We're worried about the people that are here, period. And Ben showed Ben things last night. He shredded up the Bucs defense pretty good, especially a couple times, you know, with that being contacted, pulled down, making dart throws.
You know, Ben says
Ben
that.
Doing Ben.
You know, Ben says that because Ben needs to say that. But you know what? It's showing on the field that this is bugging them because they're 1-1-1. They've lost the one they should have won. They tied the Browns, which they probably should have won that game too. So they should be probably 3-0. But they're struggling on the field and playing. You know, Antonio Brown's been kind of a distraction a little bit. This Le'Veon Bell thing has been a distraction. This team's not playing the way this Pittsburgh team can play. The penalties, 38 penalties. In three games. That's not Mike Tomlin. You know how many times a Mike Tomlin team has led the league in penalties?
Never.
Once. And it was like one of his first years. They said it last night.
I heard last night that he hasn't even been in a top six penalties.
It was once. He's led the league in penalties. Okay. It was like one of his first years. Okay. So that's not a Mike Tomlin coach team. So to me, that's showing me that the outside distractions are affecting this team. Whether Ben says it is or not, I don't care what any football player says. These distractions are bugging this team. Until it's cleared up, we're not going to see the true Steelers team.
Answer me this. Was their secondary terrible last year? A yes or no question.
Yeah.
Yes. Was their secondary terrible 2 years ago?
Sure.
Did they have distractions? Every team has distractions throughout the season. That doesn't take into account of how terrible the secondary is and guys not being disciplined. Yes, that comes into factor, but I don't think that the outside stuff has anything to do with it. Guys, they're 1-1-1. It's not like the world's ending in Pittsburgh.
No, they're fine after three
they're
games.
They're going to be fine.
And listen, if you were to ask me still right now today, the three teams that are the best teams, in my opinion, in the AFC and have the best chance of either going to the Super Bowl or going to the AFC Championship game, it's still New England, Pittsburgh, and I now throw Kansas City.
I don't know New England.
New England doesn't look
good
at all,
dude. We were saying this last year. We've been saying this for the past 5 years. Brady looks old in September.
But sooner, no, it wasn't Brady
and all
looking
of a sudden
old.
They still
they
go 13.
They don't have no wide receivers. They have no run game. Sonny Michel didn't look good at all. And their defense didn't look good. I think you want to talk about distractions. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in this whole thing of Belichick's book coming out with, you know, him talking about the distractions that they've had with Brady and his disagreements. Brady talking about he wants to leave, you know, and get away from Belichick. Maybe those distractions are catching up with them. They're the ones that are reeling a little bit here.
I would agree with that to a point because I think distractions affect every team. I don't care who you are if you've won 5 championships in a row. Distractions will affect you. New England, like you said, 1-2. Miami sits 3-0 in that division.
And they play this week. And if Miami beats them in Miami, they're already sitting 3 games back. And a head-to-head game.
Look at some of the teams in the league in the NFL that are struggling this year. Some of the blue blood teams: New England, Pittsburgh,
Cowboys.
Pittsburgh's
struggling. They're 1-1,
but they should be 3-0. They should have won those 3 games.
That's
am I right, Eric?
I mean. If they were 0-2-1 or they were 0-3
they shouldn't be 3-0. They gave up 28 points to KC in like the first quarter in week 2. They didn't deserve to win that game.
Bottom line is, I don't see Pittsburgh as that team that's, oh my, the wheels are falling off. Green Bay doesn't look that great. New England doesn't look that great. You know what I mean? Those are the guys that are sub 500.
The week four schedule, obviously week three just finished up last night. Week four now, Thursday night, Rams and Vikings. The Bengals take on the Falcons. The Raiders host the Browns. That'll be a tough one out on the West Coast for the Browns. Like to see Baker Mayfield in his first start, Eric. I know it's going to be out there. But
yeah,
you know
I mean, it's official now. Baker May, the starting quarterback, only the 30th since 99. Good luck, Baker.
Yeah, but I agree with Hugh Jackson. Yesterday, I watched a little bit of his press conference, and he said this time does feel a little different.
It does.
I don't know yet. I think it does. I think Baker Mayfield.
I mean, listen, I don't care because I've felt ways before about players and quarterbacks. I'm at a point now where I need to see it. I need to see it at this point.
But hey, John Gruden start 0-4?
He could. But here, I've always said this, and I hope they prove me wrong, but bad teams don't win on the road in the NFL. And going out west, east to west, and west to east, it doesn't happen very often. So we'll see what happens this week with Browns and Raiders. Of course, Ravens and Steelers on Sunday night. Game that really bugs me that it's not on Thanksgiving Day and it's coming up this Sunday, Lions-Cowboys. It really bugs me that it's not on Thanksgiving Day.
But the Lions...
They never play each other.
Yeah, they don't play each other.
Yeah, they do.
No,
they don't.
The Lions play the first game and the Cowboys play the second game.
Those are the only two teams that always play on Thanksgiving.
There we go.
But, yes.
So anyway, but other games this week, Dolphins-Patriots could be a good game. That game is in New England, so we'll see how that...
I thought it was in Miami.
New England's a 7-point favorite right now, and which surprises me with that spread.
Doesn't shock me.
It does really a little bit. But anyway, Monday night, the Chiefs and Broncos, but that's your week four of the NFL schedule.
I'm out, man.
Yeah, no, we're out. We're done. Big Z Sports podcast. Don't forget the weekly podcast on the WTUZ Big Z Sports Facebook page, on our website, WTUZ.com, and, of course, Twitter at @big_Z Sports. And a big thanks to Action Extreme Sports for sponsoring our weekly podcast like they do each and every week. And don't forget, tomorrow night, The Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, will be on 99.9 WTUZ at 6 o'clock. We welcome in the new Philadelphia Quakers head coach Matt Dennison, and his captains will be in the house tomorrow for the Extra Point. For Eric McElroy, Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for watching, thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast on Z Country and on WTUZ.com.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.
Hey, Z Country, Jeff here at Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, your power sports headquarters. Are you looking for a quality ATV that won't break the bank? Stop by our showroom and check out our new line of Kymco ATVs and side-by-side, like the Kymco MXU450i that features four-wheel drive with diff lock, fuel injection, and a 12-month factory warranty, all for under $5,000. Get off-road with Action Extreme Sports, your power sports headquarters located just off I-77 in New Philadelphia or at AESRacing.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at @big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.